Well, ever since we were talking about Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the Lord has had me tied up in that area, reading the book of Corinthians, and has been showing me several things. And this morning he had me up talking about divisions in the body of Christ. And so we're going to look at a couple of things in there over the next couple of weeks, I think. First off, let me say this to you. When you study one of the letters in the New Testament, we have a tendency to break it up by chapters and try to read chapters. But if you got a letter from somebody in your family, if you got a letter from somebody in your family, would you read one paragraph and wait a little while and read the next paragraph? Or would you view each paragraph of that letter as a separate entity? Nobody would. You start with Dear Jenny, and you read all the way to Love You, Kobe. You would read the whole thing together. So when we're reading the letters from Paul, we need to do it the same way. We need to read the whole letter in its totality. So if we're talking about 1 Corinthians, the basis of that is based on this verse right here. Paul is replying to them, and he says, you know, guys, some of the people in Chloe's household have told me there are problems arising. And he's talking about the division and the quarrel that is going on between them. And so he begins, and all of Corinthians is about Paul addressing points of contention within the body based on what these people from Chloe's household had told him. And so he begins to address them all. But for us, the criticalness of divisions in the body of Christ is this. 1 Corinthians 11:30 says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." Divisions in the body of Christ will bring forth death. Just like if I put a tourniquet on my leg, death is going to come to everything below it. Without the connection of the body, death is guaranteed to us. Divisions in the body of Christ will bring death to us. So today I want to relate to you a little bit of a learning curve I had to go through concerning things that would divide the body. For years I always taught from Matthew, if your brother offends you, you go to him for his benefit so that he might repent. One day I was counseling with one of my spiritual sons. I was on my back porch on the phone, and he has had an issue going on. And I said, well, the righteous thing for you to do is to go to that person. They offended you. You need to go to them, not out of vengeance. You need to have forgiven them, but you go to them for their benefit so that they might repent. I hung up the phone, and as soon as I hung up the phone, I heard the Lord say, now, is that what I said? And so I had to stop. I am smart enough to know that if he says that, I need to stop and go look and see what it says. Everywhere I go, it says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you, because you're dealing with kings. We go do it in a righteous way. We pull them aside privately and we address it with them. If they listen to you, you have won them over. Now, the full administration of this in the kingdom of God is we go to one another. In the case of sin, we go to one another privately because we're all kings and we deal with it in a kingly way. If they refuse to hear us, you take two or three witnesses. If they refuse to do that, you take the whole body. If they refuse to do that, you do the greatest act of love in Scripture. You turn their flesh over to Satan for its destruction so that their soul might be saved on the day of the Lord. Greatest act of love in Scripture. But this thing is all done for their benefit, not for our benefit. It's not done out of vengeance. It's done for the salvation of their soul. But it's always done with sin. And I should have known this. Offense doesn't require repentance. Doesn't need blood. Doesn't have to be covered by blood. But what the Lord showed me was, when we're offended, God's revealing something in us. God's in this passion of trying to reveal everything in you and I that's not like Him. God will give authority to Satan to tempt you because there's something in you that needs to be revealed. And when the enemy tempts you, you fall for it. The Holy Spirit will come and convict you. You repent. Some of that comes out. You keep doing that over and over and over until it's all gone. And then when Satan comes, he can find nothing in you. This is God's mission. He wants to reveal everything in us that's not like Him. But what He instructed me that day was, if I reveal an offense, if you become offended with somebody, doesn't have anything to do with them, I'm showing you something in yourself that needs to be changed. If they sin against you, if they steal or lie or cheat or, you know, oppress you or something like that, that would clearly be a sin. But we know we have to forgive them, and then we go to them for their benefit. But if in our mere conversations we get offended, we need to start looking inwardly and see what the Lord is revealing to us that would cause us to be offended. One of the key things is what the Lord Himself said. This is right after John had questioned, "Are you the one?" You remember the discussion we had about after John identified Him as the Lamb who takes away the sins of the earth, and then he questioned, "Are you the one?" Jesus told His disciples, "Go back and tell him that the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the sick are being healed. I am the one. Go on." And after they left, He turned to His disciples and said, "And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Me being the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the lie. No one comes to the Father except by me. But blessed is the one who's unoffendable. Who, when the truth is presented, many times people will become, well, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Chip Brogdon put it out, said, "The truth will set you free, but it'll make you mad first." Many of us, we become offended when the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, or when the Holy Spirit uses somebody else to reveal truth to us, it offends us. And we really want to hold it against those people. But the truth is, Jesus said, "Blessed is he who's not offended by the truth." So we have to come to a place where my will, my wishes, my thoughts that don't agree with God, when that gets challenged, my nature is to repent and change, to have my mind renewed, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. My point is simply this. This thing of offense is one, from my standpoint, concerning the body of Christ today, jealousy, envy, and offense are the three major things that are bringing division about, that are thus producing death. That's coming forth. And I wanted to carve out this little piece about offense in this small time. We're going to deal with jealousy and envy and where that root is there. But we, both in our lives ourselves, but also in y'all's patients that you're dealing with, we need to understand this thing. We need to understand that offense always is God trying to reveal something in me. Not in the other person that offended me. They're okay. They were probably representing the truth. But it's me that has a problem going on that the Lord needs to deal with. Okay? I got 4 minutes. Any questions about that before I have to leave?
Do you have to go to them, or can you just choose to forgive and move on and forget and let God deal with them?
In the case of sin?
Yeah.
Why do we go to them? For their benefit. If you knew I was living in a state of sin, would it be Christ-like not to come to me? The truth's going to set me free, so you're going to bring the truth to me for my benefit. Now, you know, a lot of people go for vengeance. You sinned against me, I want a little blood. You know, that's not the right way. This is the scripture right after that where it says, go to your brother, it says, and if I've forgiven him seven times, no, seven's not enough, 70 times. Forgiveness is not a question in us. Father, may I forgive those who sin against me the same way you forgive me. So forgiveness is not a question for us. We're going to have forgiven them. The only reason we're going to them is for their benefit. So, I say we are obligated to. If somebody sins against us, we're obligated to go to them for their benefit. Now, if you can't go for their benefit, don't go. If there's any element in us that can't forgive and we go there with any malice at all, we're there in the wrong place. But if we can go there representing the Lord and be prepared to say, and your sins have been forgiven on behalf of His name, that would be the way we would go. And I promise you, if you're in that place, you don't have any problem going. You're eager to go because it's out of love for that person that you'll go do it. Well, we could. If we administrated, when the kingdom is revealed completely, we will. The immature will be being confronted routinely for their benefit. But there's a lot of difference in my vengeance and my benefit, There's a huge difference. And we've many times this thing has been administrated out of vengeance, not love. But my point is this. We'll get into jealousy and envy and those things that kill the body next week. This week, just know anytime you, me, anybody else is offended, that's something going on in us, not in the other people. That's something we have to deal with ourselves. We have to work on, seek the Lord and see what element in me is not like God that the truth would offend me. And I'd have to change. I had a friend here in Lubbock for years, and every time he sent it made me mad. He would send out this note about being unoffendable. And every year he had a date. I don't know why. I guess it came up in his devotional or what. But there's a group of about 30 of us, and he would send us this note. It was really an encouragement about this very thing I'm talking about coming to the place of being unoffendable, where no one, there's nothing any, well, it went to the heart of what I say about a dead person cannot be offended. If we go over to the graveyard, do whatever we want to, throw a party, whatever, on the graves, see who gets offended, and nobody will. When we're totally dead to ourselves, we become unoffendable, and we've taken on that nature of Christ then, at that point.